Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Hi, everyone. This is the Rose Colombo, right here for you on Colombo Chronicles Live.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Listen up and wake up, America. This is the place to be for the truth. And, of course, we know that the truth is a novelty now, and you can get knocked off of social media for telling the truth. Believe me, I know for a fact that you can go to Facebook jail. Have you heard of Facebook jail? Well, they put you there sometimes for 3 days, 7 days, until they decide to pardon you and let you out for telling the truth. But that's all right, because that's the new age, the new world order, I guess, is being set in place. I don't know if we're going to be able to stop it, but they are accelerating their agendas. But in the meantime, we'll just keep telling our truth right here at Colombo Chronicles Live as long as we can. And today, right before Valentine's Day, we have a very special guest as we enter into the world of authors and experts. And we invite worldwide and national prominent guests who are experts or authors or both, and they share with us their information. It could be anywhere from the Constitution to health to animal rights to corruption to the mafia to the Constitution, animal rights, and so forth. It's a myriad of topics that are of human interest. And today we are very excited because when we enter into the world of authors and experts, we have a wonderful returning guest, and it's the famed health expert, the one and only Dr. Nick Delgado, and he has a hot book that just came off the press. It's just out, and you are going to need it for Valentine's Day, for the rest of the year, and for the rest of your life. It's entitled Mastering Love, Sex, and Intimacy, and who doesn't want more love in their lives, right? And sometimes we forget about love because we're so busy trying to survive in a world that is different today than it was yesterday. So I like to go back to the past, which is my quote, go back to the past to know how we got to the present and to know where we're going in the future. So on that note, I also want to let you know that we have another exciting guest coming up next week as well. You won't want to miss. And his name is Mark Kingston Levin. Definitely won't want to miss Mr. Levin's interview. On the second part of the show today, we will enter into the world of politics. And in the world of politics, I want to see if I can touch on Spain, what's happening in Spain. And it's fantastic. And then again, what's happening with the Clinton Foundation, maybe we could touch on that. And another topic I want to go to is Germany and the couple of spies that were arrested over in Germany from Syria. So a lot of things are happening, and it's hard to pick and choose which topics to discuss because time is limited when you're on the radio podcast. And just to let you know, it is a worldwide online podcast. So people listen into these shows any time of the day, during the year, and they scroll on down because all shows are archived. They check out for their particular commentary or their particular author and expert, and they can listen at their convenience at blogtalkradio.com/Columbo Chronicles. And I'm telling you, I get so excited to see all during the year all of the different countries that tune in to Columbo Chronicles. It is absolutely stunning to me, and I thank you so much. Countries like Canada, United Kingdom, and God bless the great British people. I mean, their country is being lost to foreign invaders, and their leaders are not protecting their citizens from their foreign invaders. And the same going over in Germany, Belgium, and Sweden. And their leaders need, and France, they need to stand up and fight back and take back their country, their sovereignty, their culture, civilization, and maintain it, just as we're trying to do in the United States of America. Because we know we have domestic and foreign enemies. We are aware. And America has awakened, continues to awaken, and continues to fight back. And then we have Norway. God bless everyone over in Norway. Germany. Oh, God bless you so much over in Germany, all of the German citizens. We see so much on the news about the invasion. And over in Sweden, how the females and the children can't walk on their own streets at late at night for fear of being gang raped. We want to prevent that over here in the United States of America. But, I mean, we have countries from all over. I mean, it's amazing. Even countries I've never even heard of, which amazes me even more. So thank you so much for being fans of Columbo Chronicles Live around the world. I pray for your countries every day, just as I pray for the United States of America. Because here in the United States, we still have the window of freedom of speech and freedom to exercise peaceful protests and to exercise peaceful marches and to recall our corrupted, when we feel like there's a corrupted person in our government, we can still recall that person if we want to be proactive and take action. We can call our congressman and urge them to remove that person from office or to hold a judiciary ethics committee hearing, maybe on something they did that we don't approve of with our tax dollars, for example. I mean, we still have quite a few options left in America, although it feels like they're trying to suppress our options. But as long as the United States Constitution remains intact, we can still fight back for freedom, liberty, rights, sovereignty, and legal immigration, which is a huge issue in the United States of America. It's huge. I mean, this is very, very big. And President Trump has been fighting to protect us by attempting to be kind enough to negotiate with the Democrats, mainly Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, and Chuck Schumer, the key senator on the Democratic side. And he's offered so many meetings to negotiate a bipartisan decision on funding the wall. And it appears that the only wall that needs to be torn down is between Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senator Schumer versus President Trump on the other side of their imaginary wall. And we, the American people, are asking Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senator Chuck Schumer to tear down that wall between them and the President of the United States and the GOP, and to fund the wall so that America can help Border Patrol, ICE, sheriffs perform their duty as required by the United States Constitution to direct foreigners to the ports of entry to apply legally for asylum, for refugee, for citizenship legally, and not to risk their lives, especially the women and children, traveling thousands and thousands of miles with strangers, which they call a caravan now, from socialist, communist, and terrorist nations. 75% of them are men, and according to the Department of Justice, there's many dangerous males in that caravan headed towards our borders, and only 25% are females with children. So they're risking their lives and their children's lives by trekking thousands of miles with totally majority of strangers from who are males from around the world. And so also many are carrying communicable diseases. And so this is the reason. It's not just the criminals that may be among them or are among them and the danger to the women and children. It's also the communicable diseases that need to be exposed at the borders by Border Patrol and ICE so they can be taken care of and not brought into the United States of America. So it's a win-win for everybody. It's a win-win for the foreigners who, if they go through the ports of entry and they apply legally, hey, they may become legal, naturalized Americans. If they sneak across the borders, then they have to be under the radar and always subject to possibility of being captured and deported. So there you have it. There's a reason that we are a republic operated by the rule of law and why Congress swears to uphold the rule of law, not ignore the rule of law. And on that note, I'm going to enter into the world of authors and experts, and I'm going to be back right after this important message, so don't touch that dial because tomorrow's Valentine's Day, and just out is a fantastic book that you'll need for tomorrow, the rest of the year, and the rest of your lives. We'll be back in just a moment.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite. Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
Hello, we're back on Columbo Chronicles Live, and we're entering into the world of authors and experts. You're listening to The Rose, Rose Columbo, and our very special guest returning on Columbo Chronicles Live is Dr. Nick Delgado, and he is the famous health expert, the famous health expert in the nation. And he has written a new book, and it's just out, hot off the press, and it's Mastering Love, Sex, and Intimacy. So when I said hot off the press, I meant hot off the press. So let's say hello and welcome back Dr. Nick Delgado. Hi, Dr. Delgado. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. And, you know, I feel like this, not only this whole month, but, of course, tomorrow being Valentine's Day, but this is the year of love. I really want to encourage people to recognize that for far too long, we've kind of left love out of the bedroom. And in a rather unique or peculiar sort of way, I'd like to explain that to your listeners as we progress. But I think the communication level has to take on a new level of awareness for both men and women. And I think it's been far too long. And as I mentioned to you prior to the show, it's been 37 years in the makings of this book, and it's finally available in time for Valentine's Day. And people are ordering it on Amazon as we speak. I just talked to a gentleman who ordered it, and he said he found it by just typing in Mastering Love, Sex, and Intimacy by Nick Delgado, not Dr. Nick Delgado. For some reason, the Nick Delgado pops up faster, and he located the book, and he was really thrilled. And I've talked to a number of people who are giving 5-star reviews to the book already. And I don't know if you know this, Rose, but the book is endorsed by none other than John Gray, author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And, of course, he sold over 40 million copies of that book on relationships. So it's about time, though, that we really kind of up the game. And when you read his quote, "This practical guide for creating lasting love and intimacy provides new insights to make you a star in the bedroom." So I'm really excited about this book.
I know. A 5-star in the bedroom would be better.
Absolutely.
So we should have a rating on our with a heart on our wall.
I like your idea. That's good. That's good.
So when you're talking about love, and then sex and intimacy, in my opinion, those are three different things. Can you tell us what each one is and what it means?
Well, I think on your part, that's a very astute observation. And I think to begin with, it really needs to be appreciated that men oftentimes communicate these three words, love, sex, and intimacy, far different than women oftentimes do. And I think the definition can vary from person to person, but I think we all know the feeling of love, and it's sometimes difficult to describe. And at times it could be confused with another term we call lust. And I love the book by Teresa Crenshaw, The Alchemy of Love and Lust. And she went into the whole biochemistry about hormones and their relationship to lust and love and sex. And I think that what I've done with this new book, Mastering Love, Sex, and Intimacy, is to kind of bridge the connection between these really rather three important words, but they are connected. I mean, if we buy into the fact, Rose, that there's a mind-body connection, oftentimes we think of love as like our heartfelt, and how do we feel about this person? And this is where I talk about the popular book, The Five Love Languages. And then, of course, men and women have for far too long not appreciated that we all communicate at this subconscious level at different levels. Auditory, hey, I love you, darling, and saying in a beautiful auditory tone. And that will vibe very closely with a woman's heart, and it reaches the deepest subconscious levels. Whereas a woman who's not really attuned to her auditory nature, and she's more attuned to her visual side, she's going to want a gift for Valentine's Day. Maybe my book, Mastering Love, Sex, and Intimacy, and she's going to want roses on Valentine's Day, right? And she's going to want maybe, the man to dress up so he looks sharp. So kinesthetic people who feel love and those who hear love are those who receive gifts and want to give gifts, or those who are what's called acts of service, that's another level. But we've taken this book to a whole new level because there's a biochemical, deep-rooted, subconscious, built-in way that humans communicate at a deep subconscious level from a biochemical standpoint and also from a level of a feeling of the heart.
Well, do you think that some people maybe don't feel like they're in love with somebody, but over time they develop love for that person? In love, I'm talking about, not just love them, but fall in love with that person?
I think that it's accepted that a relationship can develop over time. And there's also truly what we call love at first sight. Can I describe the difference?
Yes, that's my point. Yes, exactly.
Well, there was an experiment done where a psychologist set up a very special laboratory, and they had a big wall of glass that separated a man from a woman entering into the room, and they had a notepad next to the table, and they walked up, and all they were asked to do was to jot down the first thought that came to their mind when they looked at that other person. And they said, no matter what the thought is, just please jot it down. Whatever the first thought is, just write it down. And they actually drew the person's blood at the time that they were having that experience. And it was amazing to discover that some of the people, when they saw the other person they had never seen before, they wrote down the following words, Rose: love at first sight. I feel love for this person. I don't know why. And when they then did a blood test, they discovered a particular hormone, a chemical that was released from the brain, the pineal gland of the brain, and it was released, and it's called PEA, phenylethylalanine. And it's the same substance that releases when we eat a piece of chocolate. Chocolate doesn't have as strong as a release as the actual human experience of seeing someone that we may be attracted to, but this is beyond normal attraction. I'm talking about a deepest subconscious feeling, and it's probably something to do with the human innate ability to detect the other individual's chromosome balance to see if that chromosome arrangement would sire a healthy child or an abundant life for the future, because we as humans are always seeking a lover. We're seeking someone to be compatible with, and we hope that that lover will be with us for a lifetime. But in this day and age, that's not always the case, is it?
No, not when 40 to 70% of the people in this country are ending up in divorce every year, depending on the year. Love isn't
Rose,
always
I
flowing
agree with
through
you.
The air.
I've heard the same statistic, approaching 70% divorce rate. You know, there are cultures in the world that have almost a 0% divorce rate, and they raise their children in a much different way to appreciate sexuality, intimacy, and communication. And we'll get to that if you're interested. I'll address that. But I want to finish your first question. Whereas a person can truly be sexually or lustfully or hormonally attracted to someone that maybe if they hooked up with that person, they don't have too much in common, but they certainly have a deep attraction, a physical attraction. We even call it, you know, a chemical attraction, one that is undeniable. And yet for another person that walks into the room, we don't have that same attraction. Yet we may be more compatible with that person. So they always talk about a soulmate, right? You hope that the person you fall in love with is that person that you're always going to be attracted to. It's your true soulmate. But it doesn't always happen that way, because some people are attracted to alpha males. They have a high testosterone level. They have a high release of pheromones that are incredibly powerful to that woman, or vice versa. The man is attracted to a woman that, you know, maybe in reality they don't share the same values and goals and beliefs. So that gets to the next part of our question, and that is, when two people fall in love over time and they allow that relationship to develop, oftentimes these people have seeked self-improvement courses. They've listened to radio shows that Rose conducts. They've understood that people have to have maybe common values and high-level values. So let's say the couples both share in common, they have a high value for children and family. So that's going to be a very important connection for those two people. But what if they fall in love and one person decides they don't want to have children? The other one wants to have children, and it's a big, very big part of their life because that's how they were raised. They have five brothers or sisters. They, you know, they're used to having that. And the other one has never had a brother or sister and really is not comfortable with having a new person brought into the world and all the responsibility that brings, right? So that's right. That's a very counterintuitive value that, if it's not shared, could be a deal breaker, right?
Right. But what about, do you think that men are more apt to be attracted to more different women and than women, or not? Because it seems like the men are more apt to be attracted to more women, even though they're married or have a girlfriend or a fiance. Is that true or not?
I love the question, Rose. That's fantastic. And I'm going to defer to another study that was done. This was done with a little cute little animal called a vole. And they measured a hormone called vasopressin. And they measured the levels of commitment of these little rodents. And they found that when they matched up together, the voles had a very powerful attraction for each other, and they stayed together for a lifetime. The ideal relationship that everyone seeks, right? When we see these movies and 50 Shades of Grey, and, you know, the alpha male kind of somehow falls for the beautiful young woman, and the woman kind of conquers his spirit and causes him to no longer look for other women, right? That's kind of the dream that most women, they want to train men to fall into that arena of love, right? But
right,
when they looked at these little voles, they found another group that had a completely different approach to each other. And they discovered that this particular hormone was completely suppressed and almost non-existent, this vasopressin hormone. And so they went about and they noticed that the voles would mate with many different other partners. They were not faithful at all. But then they did a unique thing in the experiment. They gave this particular hormone to the voles that were committed and very faithful, and they discovered that the voles started playing around with all the other little local rodents, and then they gave the particular hormone to the group that was playing around and not committed, and they discovered that they became very bonded. You've heard of oxytocin, how holding each other, caressing and kissing, that increases a hormone of bonding. So there's multiple hormones that are involved, and it turns out that we have a way to influence those hormones with herbs, supplements, and some natural bioidentical hormones that can actually help. But I think a lot of females think that if they're with an alpha male, that they'll kind of hold out and not give in to have sex with that male. But if they have consistent, repetitive engagement of love and intimacy, that man, his hormones start to change, and he becomes very faithful and bonded so long as he seeks and receives a lot of attention and love on a daily basis. It seems to take at least 30 days, though, before that hormonal change occurs.
That's a lot of work on the woman's part.
I never said that relationships were easy work. If you want a committed relationship, there's going to have to be effort.
So on the intimacy, so you can have sex and you feel intimate at the moment, then the sex is over and, you know, your love partner is off going to work and you know, and you're doing your thing. So how do you maintain intimacy, and what does it mean to be intimate besides having sex?
I think intimacy is a deep, heartfelt emotion, one in which an intimate engagement or encounter really takes part, keeping in mind that women always require, and I'll preface this, in most cases, women require 20 minutes of very close and direct engagement, both auditory, visual, and holding what we call kinesthetic. And if they receive that kind of attention prior to, leading up to sex or any other type of engagement, they feel appreciated. They feel like they've been heard. They feel like they have been really engaged to the deepest level so that their mate is fully present. And I mean, I've been present with couples and counseled them while they're both on their cell phone texting and they're not even communicating to each other. And this happens in the bedroom. So I know you laugh because it's true, but you know, intimacy requires the deepest level of engagement. And that if it's encountered and you make a special date, if let's say you decide you're going to have sex once a week or once a day or every night or every morning, the more often that a couple engages, it's kind of like the more often you have love and sex, the more the intimacy grows.
Right, and I was laughing because you said, you know, they're in there to learn about, you know, intimacy, and they're on their cell phones. I mean, that
yeah, they're
tells
asked
you a whole
to put
lot
the cell
of,
phones away.
That tells you a whole lot about, you know, the couple, basically, you know, where they're at with their relationship. And, you know, I would think if I was a doctor, you know, I would look at that and think, okay. And so... So how important...
Well, they may not bring the cell phone out, you know, at the session, but they'll bring it up during the counseling session. And they'll say, she always is on her phone while we're about to have sex. And I'm like, okay. And we'll have a discussion about that. Like, you know, is this really important to you? Is this relationship worth preserving?
Don't get intimate with your phone. We're here to talk to each other.
I know a lot of couples who have a love life with their phone. Trust me.
Oh, I believe that one. And so do you believe that holidays such as Valentine's Day is an important day to pick up that love and sex and intimacy? Is that an opportunity for a lot of couples, you think, that are struggling with it?
I really do. I think because... as a nation, I think every person honors and respects the value of love, arguably the most important human emotion that we all experience, whether it be love of our children, love of the mates that we're with, significant other, or just love of life. But I think that Valentine's Day can be a lonely time too. And I really respect those who are single since, you know, many of the people I counsel are single. They're not always as a couple. And they're trying to figure out why they tend to pick a mate that doesn't seem to stay with them. And then when they do pick a mate, it isn't the right person they want to be with. So it really is important to first kind of understand what it is that you're seeking and kind of make a list of the important things and values and goals and dreams. You know, I once did a program with Tony Robbins, and he wrote about it in a book called Awaken the Giant Within. And I really amplified that in my course called Mastering Love, Sex, and Intimacy, my online course, because it's so much more in depth. The book, you know, does a great job of really teaching people love techniques and mastering herbs and supplements and how that improves and heightens intimacy and sexuality and passion and love. But my online course goes into even more detail where individuals start to learn the importance of values association. And so that way, when you start to learn that someone else values health higher than you, or they value their career or their children, once we kind of get that merger of the importance of values, then I think the intimate relationship starts to be nurtured, because it may be that you'll never have the exact same values. What I'm saying is that what I learned in working with Tony Robbins and creating my online course, his course being Date with Destiny, and that is that you just simply have to honor the other person's values. Like, you have to appreciate, listen, I'm not going to exercise and eat as healthy as you're going to be, but I'm going to respect that and encourage you to go ahead and eat healthy while I might not eat as healthy as you do. But please don't deter me from the way I want to live. But at the same time, please honor that I want to have children. And if you're not the one for me to have children with, then let me go so I can find a mate that wants to have children. Or let me seek a person who respects that I'm a career individual. And although when we're engaging together, I'm going to put my cell phone away, when we're not at that moment engaged, I need to be on my phone. I need to be on my computer. I need to go to events. So that respect, that mutual respect, places very high in nurturing a quality relationship.
We're talking to Dr. Nick Delgado, the famed health expert and author of a wonderful book everybody should read, Mastering Love, Sex, and Intimacy. It's just out, and it's hot off the press. And so, Dr. Delgado, so do you think that people have too much expectations of their partners? Maybe that's an issue?
Yes. But partly they have to play a role to fulfill that missing anticipation or expectation. Let me give a good example. When a man engages a woman and they're about to have leading up to the intimacy of a massage, candlelight, the right music, maybe the guy has taken an extra step to shave very well. Like, I usually even recommend a bronze shaver because it shaves as close as a razor. And, you know, women appreciate that. They say, that seems strange, a guy will say. But you know what? A guy's scratchy beard on a lady's cheek or on an intimate area, it's very uncomfortable. And I have women complain to me all the time that their guys don't even really pay attention to their grooming and self-care. That's just one small aspect. But I think that women need to appreciate that sometimes men have difficulty achieving an erection. And it could be they need a fantasy, something whispered in their ear, or they need to take the steps to build up to that excitement and not distract the man by saying, hey, honey, you didn't pay the bills. Well, that's a really poor timing prior to having making love, you know. And it could be that the lady doesn't really know how to touch the man. Maybe he needs a firmer grip or something that she hasn't ever been told or shown. And it could be, on the other hand, the woman, which, by the way, this statistic is shocking, Rose, and yet it still stands ever since Kinsey was written in the Kinsey Report in the 1950s, of course, who you maybe have heard of, an Academy Award winning movie about the Kinsey research and about sex surveys in Indiana University, and then later by Masters and Johnson's in the 1960s and 70s that carried on research. But even as far back as that, and then a book called Sex in America, a more recent book by Cosmopolitan Research, stated that 75% of women fake their sexual orgasms. 75% in every encounter. That is a shocking statistic. So that means that women are not being responsible for their orgasm. They're not sharing with men how they like to be pleased. But worse, men don't want to be shown, and they think they already know how to please the woman. And that leads to massive discord, and it leads a woman subconsciously to think, I need a better lover. This man doesn't care about me. He's not paying attention to me. And I have couples sharing with me, you know, separately or together, that communication has not led to a satisfying relationship for the woman.
Yeah, boredom in the bedroom. And so what about the man's ego? Don't you think that would be part of what you were talking about, that a man feels like if a woman were to tell him, you know, this isn't working, or whatever, that his ego would get in the way?
Always. Men have the biggest problem of ego, and that's the biggest block to having a loving relationship. And knowing that a man might not want to hear that he's not touching a woman in the way she wants to be touched. But here's the big deal breaker. And I'll share with you what I believe the major reason why there's so much confusion in the bedroom. Can I share with you the number one cause of sexual displeasure amongst men and women?
Well, we're waiting.
Don't hold your breath, but here it is. As far back as the 1950s, Kinsey published a medical journal report that was read by hardly anyone, and he printed it in his large clinical textbook. And he basically reported he hired gynecologists, and he had four gynecologists examine over 400 women, and they took a probe and they looked for where the sensitive areas of a woman were in the genitalia. And do you know what they discovered?
I'm waiting.
When they probed the vagina, there's virtually no sexual pleasure nerve endings in a female's vagina. Well, what does that mean to all the pornography that's out there portraying a man and a woman having sex with intercourse and the women screaming wildly like Harry Met Sally? You remember that movie where she goes on to have what appears to be a real orgasm in a restaurant? Women are forced to fake their orgasm because they don't want to admit, number one, to the man that having intercourse does not please her in a majority of the cases. And number two, a woman doesn't feel like a woman unless she proves to her man that she's able to have an orgasm during intercourse. Can you understand the confusion that's happening amongst men and women now based on that scientific fact?
Well, yes, because I've had friends over the years who have confided in me that they feel like their husband just jumps on them, boom, 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 and it's over. And a few of them went off and looking for romance in other places. And so, yeah, I get it.
Yes.
I mean, seriously.
Well, let me share with you, here's the solution to the problem. Do you want to know the solution?
Sure.
Okay. First, you have to change the approach to what we call foreplay. Foreplay becomes main play. Let me define what I mean by that. And I'm not the first to describe this, but I'm the first to be so bold and direct to explain to men, even in a mixed audience with their partner next to them. And I've literally explained this, and I've watched the women nodding their head yes, while the man is nodding his head no in disbelief, this can't be. And here's what I'm explaining to them. Because a woman during intercourse, it's very difficult to feel a man's penis. And that's where they always talk about size matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
It won't matter if a large penis enters or a small penis enters because there's virtually no nerve endings inside the vagina. Now, women feel the pressure and they feel, I guess the best way to describe it, imagine a man is laying back and wanting to be pleased by his woman. And let's say she decides to grab his scrotum, his ball sack, and starts tugging on it thousands of times over the course of an hour. Do you think that man will reach orgasm just by tugging on his scrotum?
I've never done that experiment 1,000 times, so I don't know what your answer.
Well, the answer is no. There's virtually no nerve endings in the skin of the ball sack, so the man is not going to reach any kind of level of heightened sexuality unless he has a fantasy about it, and maybe his hormone levels are optimized to the level where he might get excited. But he's going to ask her what to do. He's going to ask her to reach up a little bit higher and grab him in a certain place and start stroking in a certain way. Isn't that true?
You're the doctor, so I'm taking your advice.
Well, okay, so to achieve orgasm, that man has to have a certain amount of stimulation in the right area, correct?
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so the same with the woman, but here's the confusion that lies within, and literally within. A female's main sexual organ is the clitoris, which is outside of the vagina, and it begins, obviously, at the top of the pubis bone, and where the opening to the vagina begins. But when a woman can achieve orgasm. The only way she usually can achieve orgasm is she mounts a man on top and she rubs her pubis area, the clitoral area, onto his pubis bone and rubs it sufficiently during intercourse to achieve enough stimulation to orgasm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so there's 8,000 pleasure nerve endings in the head of the clitoris. That tiny little organ, the clitoris, literally has 8,000 pleasure nerve endings, whereas a man's entire penis only has 4,000 nerve endings. And if you go further, the clitoris, even though it's a small organ, it curls in 4 inches, and then it curls back inside underneath, and that has 15,000 nerve pleasure connections. And its sole purpose, the clitoris leading to the G-spot, its sole purpose is to elicit pleasure and to gain a engagement, enough pleasure that a mate will mate with her long enough for her to feel some kind of stimulation. You follow? But here's the other ironic factor.
Mm-hmm.
A woman's G-spot is not reached by the penis easily. In fact, it's really rarely ever reached because it's up if she lays on her back and spreads her legs and he reaches up with his finger and reaches up on the wall of her vagina, like up 12 noon or 1 o'clock, he's going to find a little area that if he rubs with his fingers as far in as they'll go, he'll find a little area on the roof of her pelvis there. And in that area above near the end of the vaginal wall, you're going to find the end of the clitoral fold, and that's where the G-spot stimulates, and a woman can have another type of orgasm. There's actually 3 types of orgasms a woman can have, and men are not trained in this, and my book goes into great detail exactly how to stimulate these 3 principal areas. I haven't even got into the third way, but once a man learns how to stimulate these 3 erogenous zones, a man can then guarantee that every sexual encounter, his wife or significant other will have an orgasm. Do you think that she'll look forward to having sex with him the next time once he learns truly how to please her instead of trying to fake her orgasm so she can go off shopping?
Well, I think it's a combination of everything you said. I think it's a combination of the man tuning into his woman and not just jumping on her, like I said, the women that confided in me, you know, boom, boom, bang, and he's off and he's sleeping. And then also building up to the sex and then into the intimacy. So, yeah, I believe everything you've said was accurate and that most people don't have a clue because unless they go to someone like Dr. Nick Delgado to actually explain everything to them, or if they read your book, your hot new book, that Mastering Love, Sex, and Intimacy, that they're going to, if they really want to, they're going to have a better relationship in the end. And they'll probably
yes.
stay together longer, maybe for life.
Yes, and or at least very least. Learn how to please the opposite sex in such a way that maybe the relationship they're in now will begin to blossom and mature and cement. As I often say, sex is the sizzle in the relationship, but it has to be quality sex where it's very loving and enjoyable and exciting and new and different. And I go into all of these factors in the chapters of the book, but I also would like to say this, that maybe the mate they're with is either bored or not interested or not wanting to learn how to please their mate. And or it could just be that their ego is so big that they believe they've been doing a good job all these years, you know, with their mate, just like I did for the first 5 years with my wife. And she one day told me I was a lousy lover. And I'm like, my gosh, after 5 years, you're telling me this? And all I did was follow the book, What She Always Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask, and I followed every step of the book, but the book was completely wrong.
Oh.
And that book sold millions of copies.
Wow.
So there's millions of couples that are misled by pornography, by current textbooks, and even magazines like Cosmopolitan. And the only people that are truthful, oftentimes, Rose, are young couples, because sometimes young women are a little bit more bold, and they'll take a man's head and guide him to the area to make sure that he is reaching that area of pleasure. Or they'll bring the magic wand into the bedroom, and they'll enjoy the vibrator while he enters her during intercourse, and she's being stimulated simultaneously. So there's a number of techniques. I give the readers at least five simple techniques that they can apply on Valentine's Day in time for the most exciting love day of the year. And quite frankly, when they purchase my book, Mastering Love, Sex, and Intimacy, with proof of purchase, we'll give them my special $250 online course for free. All they have to do is send an email to our address located at DelgadoProtocol.com, our contact information. But if they just simply remember, they can email the following to Nick@DelgadoProtocol.com. We'll be able to send them the free online course valued at $250, absolutely included with the purchase of the book, Mastering Sex, Love, and Intimacy. And even if they get the online Kindle book for $2.99 during this week, we'll go ahead and honor that online course and give them access that they'll have to be able to review for themselves and their honey for a full year.
So your books are on Amazon.com, right?
Yes. If they just type in Nick Delgado books by Dr. Nick Delgado or Nick Delgado and type in Mastering Love, Sex, and Intimacy, they'll see my other books, but they'll also see the newest book.
That is fantastic. So if you have a closing message, Dr. Nick Delgado, for our listeners, what would that closing message be?
I would say that there's three of the most important values that we all share: health, seeking wealth in our career, and relationships, love. And if any one of these is left out, it's very difficult for a person to feel fulfilled. But probably the most important of all of that, I will say, is health, because without health, you can't have a healthy relationship or pursue your career appropriately, because I am a health expert. But I also feel that even with the best health in the world, if you have no love in your life, you're going to be completely disappointed. But with love in your life is worth living. And so regardless, the richest thing that we can give to our partner is the gift of love. So I'm surely hoping that those of you who are listening get past their ego and ignore the fact that maybe the man can improve in the bedroom, and he may not be the best lover in the world, or the woman may learn to open up to her man and communicate in a way that they share this special course and book that will help them to improve not only communication in the bedroom, but communication at all levels of their relationship. And that should help them in their business, communicate their needs and their goals and desires. So that's my wish. Get the book by Nick Delgado, Mastering Love, Sex, and Intimacy, endorsed by John Gray, who sold over 40 million books, Men Are for Mars, Women Are for Venus. It's endorsed by a number of the top leading doctors and experts, psychologists, and hormone experts. And so I'm really excited that this book, in 37 years in the making, is finally available. And if they go to DelgadoProtocol.com, they'll see my new online course, Mastering Love, Sex, and Intimacy. And they can even call our office if they have any questions. And that phone number is as follows: 949-720-1554. That's 949-720-1554. And we also have an 800 number, and that 800 number is as follows: 866-319-0566.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Nick Delgado, for telling us about your latest book and all of the information that you provided to hopefully save relationships around the country and around the world, because heaven knows we need to have more families stay together for the sake of the children. And I believe that this is part of couples staying together and making it work for the sake of the family, because the family is the foundation of a civilized nation. And on that, I wish you a happy, happy Thanksgiving to you and your wife, and God bless you and keep up the good
work. Not just Thanksgiving, but Valentine's Day.
Did I say Thanksgiving?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Valentine's Day. Well, we'll give thanks for your book and on Valentine's Day. How's that?
That's fantastic, Rose. You have a wonderful day. And enjoy Valentine's Day, of course, and also a loving life for all that are listening. Thank you so much, Rose.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And on that note, Dr. Nick Delgado has left the building. And tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and I do wish everyone a very happy Valentine's Day. Hope you have something special planned, and if you're single, maybe you can do something with your friends and wish each other a happy Valentine's Day, because it's just a fun, and it's kind of a day that anyone can renew their friendships, their relationships, and bond, and enjoy a nice lunch, a nice dinner, good movie, or flowers and candy, whatever. And be sure to get Mastering Love, Sex, and Intimacy, which is just out off the press. Dr. Nick Delgado chose Colombo Chronicles to tell you about it and explain important information on how to save your relationships if they're in a little bit of trouble there, and how to contact him, and also get buy the book and get a free online course. And you can't beat that offer. So on that note, I'm going to say God bless you. God bless America. And pray for our president. Pray for our country. Pray for people around the world, especially those who are hurting. And remember, injustices can happen to you and they can happen to me. But together, we can make a positive difference. Remember that you're never alone when you tune in to Colombo Chronicles every Wednesday. Bye-bye.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or, if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.